My hope is you had a great day. We've had a lot of young people in town for very special reasons. We've got a lot of great young people in this room. And we have some great older people in this room as well, Kyle. And there are many, many blessings we have in visitors. We have several in the room tonight. This morning was a great opportunity for us to be together, but not greater than the opportunity we have now to worship God, to encourage each other, and to give ourselves a great, great blessing. How you view the cross determines how you live life every day. If you don't think about the cross regularly, if you don't give it much thought, even when it's preached about, sung about, we've sung some great songs tonight. If you aren't really considering the cross and what the cross means to you, you've missed a fantastic opportunity. All of us have a view of the Christ. I was reading about a little boy that was questioning the preacher about the bear the church has. And the preacher said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, we're always singing about and reading about the cross-eyed bear." And that, the preacher didn't understand what he was talking about, and you probably don't either. But if you think about daily, my cross-eyed bear, we have to think about that. But you see, the little boy had his view of the cross. Had nothing to do with the cross and what the cross meant. So, what is your view of the cross as we start thinking tonight about where we want to go? In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, there are some really neat statements made about Jesus. We are to keep our eye upon Jesus. Hard to keep your eye upon Jesus if you're looking at his life without coming to the cross. Should never be without thinking about the cross. He, for the joy that was set before him. Joy is not generally associated with the cross. When you start reading about the cross and the way in which people were put to death on the cross, there's nothing pleasant about it. Nothing easy about it. Nothing joyous about it. I am sure I have seen movies where they had the road into Rome just lined with crosses and people hanging on those crosses. I doubt, seriously, if any thoughtful person would be going down that road laughing and talking about how slightly dressed those people were. And how funny one skinny person looked. Oh, look, that person's overweight. And I doubt any serious thinking person is going down that road lined with crosses where people were being put to death, making fun, making jokes, thinking, wow, what a neat occasion, what a wonderful sight that is. But for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured shame. He endured the suffering because of the joy that was to be his in one day, taking home you and me as a part of his kingdom. You see, that's the bottom line of the cross. When you think about Jesus, do you think about the cross? Or do you just think about neat miracles? And boy, some of them are so neat, some of them are so amazing. Can you imagine standing at the grave of your brother that had already been dead 4 days, and you've told Jesus that, and he says, "Anyway, Lazarus, come forth." And here comes this body bound in the grave clothes, and they take those grave clothes away, and Lazarus continues to live. Would that be an amazing thing? Boy, we love to talk about Jesus. We love talking and thinking about the cross. Tonight, I just want to share a few Bible passages with you that help us think about what we could be thinking about with regard to the cross. First of all, we need to be thinking about Christ's death, because he died for Roy Sharp. You can put your name in there, because he died for you. God so loved the world, those people in this universe that God created, whose soul will die because of sin if Jesus did not choose to die on the cross. Would you die for me? Jesus would. You ever been in a jail? I've been several times. I've looked into where people stay. And I remember down here at the Chester County Jail going down to see someone, and I was back there and I looked in where these prisoners were. If you want to be stereotypical and prejudicial, I didn't see one of those people that didn't have what I would call the look. They had the look. They looked like people that would be doing things that would cause them to be incarcerated and behind those bars. The place, I'm sure this is not true. If we've got any city officials, this is probably not true. But just my image was dirty. People that needed a bath. Place that needed a bath. And it's my image of it more than it is the actual place of it. Would you die for one of those people? When you start thinking about these people that do the shootings, this guy that just walked into the newspaper office and killed five people and injured two more, would you die for him? If it had been your dad or your mom or your sister or someone you loved, would you die for that guy? Jesus did. That's what the cross is about. How could there be joy for Jesus? Because you see, they mocked him. They stripped him of his robe. They put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. And when they found someone walking along, Simon of Cyrene, they compelled this man to carry his cross. How would you like to have been Simon? Grabbed out of the crowd, having to carry the cross. And then when he got there, no one believed that he was dying for them among those scoffers. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. He saved others. He can't save himself. You might have been there and heard about the death of Lazarus. He could raise Lazarus from the dead, but he can't get himself down from the cross. He could turn water into wine. He could, and you could just fill in the blanks with all the things that could have been said about what Jesus did when he walked on the face of the earth. But he couldn't get himself down from the cross, they were saying. You see, unless you think regularly about the cross being an instrument of death for your Savior, you might as well sing about the cross I'd bear the way that little boy was thinking. Because if you're going to think about the cross the way you should, you're going to think about Christ's death. But you couldn't think about the cross without thinking about man's duty. I was just looking a few minutes ago at Matthew chapter 10, looking at verses 24 and 25, and Jesus is sending his disciples out to call people into the kingdom. Boy, you would think the Son of God would be giving these people a nice Mercedes convertible to ride around in. He didn't even want them taking stuff with them. He wanted them depending on him. And he started telling them, the religious leaders aren't going to like you. They're going to persecute you. The civil leaders are not going to like you. They're going to persecute you. Even your own family will be the worst of your enemies. In verses 24 and 25, Jesus says this, a disciple is not above his teacher. A servant is not above his master. If they say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub, how much more are they going to demean and ridicule and abuse the people of my house? You see, if you think you're going to be baptized into Christ and you're going to rise up out of this watery grave and you're going to walk out there and the world is just going to fall before you and you are going to have it made, no troubles, no sorrow, no sickness, no sadness, you've got the wrong idea about following Christ. Because you see, the cross is still an instrument of death. That's why the Apostle Paul said in this great passage we read regularly, we sing about, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And in this great passage in Matthew 10, as Jesus continues to talk to his people like you and me that he is sending out into the world, could you think about being in that group and Jesus saying to us, whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Giving up yourself, is that hard? You're going to follow Jesus. And if you're going to represent the cross in your life, and you think about what you've got to do before you go to bed tonight, when you get up in the morning, when you walk by the way, whatever it is that you're doing, you better be thinking about the cross with regard to what responsibility you have before God. And you just cannot have a cross without suffering. So sad sometimes when we see people who, when things go wrong in their life, we have books like Why Do Good Things Happen to Bad People and Bad Things Happen to Good People. When life tumbles in, and you can think of the numbers of books that you've read that talk about what comes when we live in this life. It's not going to be easy. Jackson Christian Gym was full of people today because life hasn't been easy for a family who lost a young man who just finished the seventh grade. So excited about all the athletic plans that he had, having so much fun playing in the water, and then life tumbles in. Very bad things happen to some good people. You cannot live life without the suffering that Christ went through, because you see, if you're a learner, if you're a disciple, if you're a student, you're not better than the teacher. He suffered, so will you. If he's your master, if he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to you, if he suffered, so will you. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. You see, there are some ways of dying. I'm assuming in the physical sense, every way of dying is not a good way. There's loss, and there's sadness, and there's hurt at every death. You can talk about, I remember a former teacher at Fried Hardeman that lived right down the street from me, Fred Kittrell. I remember him preaching a funeral up in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, for a sweet, sweet, wonderful older lady. And he talked in such glowing terms about the way she died. She laid down on the couch. She smiled. She talked to her family. She pulled the cover up and she went to sleep. Isn't that a pleasant way to die? And there's people in this room who say, well, boy, I would take that way to die. But I'm telling you, with every death, there's the sadness, there's pain, there's hurt. Jesus became obedient unto one of the worst kinds of death that you could possibly have. And so, this great passage in Hebrews 12 and verse 2. In our bulletin today, take it home with you and read it, our worship bulletin. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus went through suffering. He went through shame. Nothing easy about what he went through. When you look at the cross and you think about you and the cross, you need to think. The disciple is not above the teacher. The servant is not above the master. You will suffer in some ways if you're a child of God. You start thinking about what we want to believe, what we want to teach. Paul said, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You see, my responsibility as a preacher is not to baptize anybody in this room who needs to be baptized. It's my responsibility to preach the word of God that says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's my responsibility to teach you to be buried with Christ in baptism so that, like as Christ was raised from the dead, you must be raised or can be raised just like he was to God's glory. It's my responsibility to preach to you that you need to think about what God says when he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's my responsibility. But when you hear those words of God, it is your responsibility to rise up and do what God says. Because you see, in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, in verse 8, the passage there says, even though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he permitted. And being made perfect or complete, he became the source of eternal salvation unto all those that obey him. You see, Jesus had to learn obedience. He didn't have to obey in heaven. But he came to earth and he had to learn. I came to do the will of my Father who sent me. My meat is to do the will of my Father who sent me. Jesus came to be obedient. Christ did not send Paul to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of eloquent wisdom. You know, there are a few great preachers. There are some sitting here in front of you. I wish from the bottom of my heart that one was standing before you. But you see, it doesn't matter if you're great or if you're mediocre. It doesn't matter if you preach the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ that has the power to save the souls of men. It's not about eloquence. It's not about man's wisdom of being able to say things in such a powerful, marvelous way. It's about telling people, here is God's message. And when you don't preach the message, whether you are eloquent or if you're mediocre, you empty the power of the cross. That's why it's so important for us to be faithful. Because you see, for the word of the cross is folly or foolishness to those people who are going to perish. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So we need to be faithful to the Lord. If you are thinking about the cross of Jesus Christ every day, you're going to be thinking about telling people to watch what they say. Control that tongue. You're going to be telling people to watch what you look at, because if you look at certain things, for example, a woman to lust after her, or any other thing that you should not be looking at, you are emptying the cross of its power when you don't tell people this is not what God would have you to be doing. We need to be helping people see the light and get them out of darkness. And if we don't, and if we are not faithful to the cross will have no power for us or those people to whom we are talking. And then, the cross is about reconciliation. Sin creates an unthinkable barrier between us and God. I think about the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and I think about that great gulf. Sin creates that great gulf. God doesn't want anybody to be over across that great gulf, away from His blessings and His goodness and His mercy and His grace. He wants everyone to enjoy what He has in store for every one of us. But you notice in that story, God doesn't have Abraham or Lazarus or anyone else reach across that great gulf and jerk the rich man over when he starts begging God. When he starts recognizing God. God will never do that. God will never take any one of you by the nape of the neck or the seat of the pants or any other way and drag you down this aisle or shove you down this aisle or any other aisle. Reconciliation only occurs when you have a proper view of the cross. When you think seriously about the suffering of Christ, the death of Christ, your duty to God, and the faithfulness by which you are to live life every day. What a great passage there on the screen. There's not much of the passage. This is God's desire tonight for every person in this world. If you're in this room tonight and you're not a Christian, it's His desire for you to be reconciled to Him. It's not a matter of being reconciled to Roy Sharp or Billy Smith or the elders here or this congregation of God's people. All of that's important, but it's about reconciling all of us to God. Making friends with God by listening to Him, by thinking properly about the cross and responding to the power of the cross to lift us up and be drawn to Christ because of what God has done. He wants to reconcile Jews, Gentiles, blacks, whites, North Koreans, South Koreans, Chinese, Europeans, Americans, South Americans, you just name it. God wants us all to be one in Christ Jesus. And the reason we are not all one in Christ Jesus, you can say it in one way, we just don't have the right view of the cross. You're not a Christian, and this night you walk out of this building and you don't repent of your sins and you're not baptized into Christ, you go out singing that song the next time thinking about that little boy and the cross I'd bear. Because your view of the cross is really not the view of heaven. And so we sing, bring Christ your broken life. If it's sinful, it's marred by sin. And He will create a need. That is the power of the cross. If you need, please come and let's stand and let's sing.
There's no other way but the cross. There's no other way but the